Good evening and welcome to our site as we continue our sermons in the series The Acts of the Holy Spirit, Never a Dull Moment. So please have your Bible handy and turn with me now to the Acts in the New Testament, the Book of Acts and chapter 11. Book of Acts, chapter 11, and reading from verse 1. Our theme this evening, the real deal, the real deal, and we learn this from a man named Barnabas. Acts chapter 11, reading from verse 1. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, and wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke to me from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit of God told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is also called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections, and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles, the non-Jews, repentance unto life." Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their heart. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us as we consider our theme this evening, the real deal, the real deal. Friend, aren't you tired of seeing false and fake Christians? They just seem to be all over the place these days. The ones that especially irritate me are the ones who manipulate their followers to their own advantage. We've seen it before and we'll see it again. charlatans who hijack people and their purses. I can't stand fake Christians, whether they are preachers or presidents or politicians. Haven't we all been taken for a ride sometimes by these self-seeking, self-serving scoundrels whom Jesus would call wolves in sheep's clothing? When we come to our passage of Scripture this evening and take a look at Barnabas, we see the real deal. And so I'd like to highlight five things that just leap out at us as we look at this passage of Scripture that describes Barnabas. And so, if you want to be the real deal, then be like Barnabas, and we extract 5 points from our reading about Barnabas this evening. First of all, be a herald. Second, be an encourager. Third, be a team player. Fourth, be like Jesus. And then fifth, be generous. Be a giver, a good steward of all that God has given to you. Let's take a look at them in turn and allow these points to challenge us to the depth of our being this evening. Be a herald. Be a herald. What a wonderful thing. Notice as we look at the scriptures this evening and as we meditate in this wonderful passage, some of the things that we read here about Barnabas. And first of all, what a herald Barnabas was. Dr. James Stewart used to say, God hasn't called us primarily to be his lawyers, defending his word. He has called us primarily to be his heralds, proclaiming the word. You don't really have to defend the Bible or defend the gospel. Just proclaim it. Be a herald. Barnabas and these early Christians were amazing heralds, as we have read in these past few chapters in the Acts of the Apostles. These people were not sharing the gospel, the good news about Jesus, because they were being made to feel guilty about not sharing the gospel. They shared the good news about Jesus because they loved Jesus so much, and loved people so much, and loved lost people so much, that they wanted to tell others about Jesus. It was spontaneous. It was born of the Spirit within them. Friend, Christianity is real, and the gospel is powerful. And the more you try to stop it, the more it will grow. It happened in the first century. It has happened in every century. It has happened in Africa. It's happened in China. It's happened in the Far East. It's happened in so many parts of the world. The blood of the martyrs is seed. Christianity is real, and the gospel is powerful. And it's wonderful to see its beginnings here in the Acts. In the Jerusalem area, the infant church, remember, was almost exclusively Jewish. It was primarily a Judean church to start with. But then as we've seen, it grew through Samaria. And now we see it growing through Phoenicia on the Syrian coast, and to the island of Cyprus, where Barnabas came from, and then to Antioch, a city of over 500,000 people at the time. It was called the Queen of the East. Antioch, northeast of the island of Cyprus on the Mediterranean coast, Antioch was an amazing city. It means over against, and it's going to be contrasted, set over against Jerusalem as the base for the church's mission. We see this amazing thing taking place in the plan and economy of God. The center of the church, the base of the church, the base of its mission, moving from Jerusalem to Antioch. Why? Because the scattered believers were heralds. They gossiped the gospel wherever they went. Verse 19 says, they were scattered abroad. Acts 8:4 says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went, fleeing for their lives. Sometimes they didn't know exactly where they were going. But wherever they were scattered, they took root, and they shared the good news about Jesus. Where has God placed you, dear friend? Some of you may travel this week, perhaps, or some of you may be off to work in the city, some of you at school, on a campus, maybe, as people go back to school and back to work in greater numbers during this time of the pandemic. But could it be that God has planned an encounter with someone that you speak to this week about Christ and about the joy of his salvation? Be a herald like Barnabas. Verse 19, telling the message. It was not a formal proclamation from the pulpit, but sharing conversationally. Evangelism, as someone put it, is just one beggar telling another one where to get bread. Evangelism is not the exclusive work of an evangelist. It is the task of every Christian. Whatever you may be, use that as your pulpit. If you're a genuine Christian, it's impossible not to be a witness. Sooner or later, someone's going to notice your life is different and want to know why. God gives us all opportunities, week by week, to be heralds. These people spoke first of all to their fellow Jews. But then, verse 20, some of them were from Gentile areas and cities, and they saw tens of thousands of non-Jews who needed to hear the gospel just as much and needed to be saved just as much, forgiven of their sins and restored in a dynamic personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so they began to tell Greeks also the good news about the Lord Jesus. And look what happened. The hand of the Lord was upon them. Verse 21. But isn't that exactly what Jesus promised? Go into your world, and as you go, make disciples. And as you do so, lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. And we read a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 21. They were the real deal. I love Paul's first letter to the Christians at Thessalonica. He speaks about these believers who are distinguished as the real deal because they received the gospel with all eagerness, and they turn from the dead idols of their life to serve the living God and to wait for his Son from heaven. They turn from idols to serve the living and the true God, and their faith became known everywhere, all through the region, for miles and miles around. Why? Because like Barnabas, they were the real deal. They had genuinely repented toward God, placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, been born anew of the Holy Spirit into the family of God, and they experienced the kingdom of God, the reign of God, the reign of Jesus in their lives, and the power of the Holy Spirit dynamically changing them into new people. What a wonderful thing when that happens. For real faith results in a new direction, a turning away from the dead idols of your life to serve the living God and look forward to the return of Christ. News of this wonderful move of God among the Gentiles of Antioch reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they looked for a man adequate for the task of shepherding this new flock of believers. Have you ever noticed what a difference one person can make in a situation? I pray that you and I will be that person this week and in the coming months and years, to be God's person in the right place at the right time with the right word, speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God the good news about Jesus like a faithful herald. Ezekiel 22:30, God says, I looked for a man, but I found none. Well, the Jerusalem church needed to check out this new situation in Antioch and see if it was of God or not, and they looked for a man. And out of the hundreds, in fact, out of the thousands in the church of Jerusalem, which was growing like wildfire, they chose Barnabas. And what a difference Barnabas made, because he was the real deal. In fact, were it not for Barnabas, the Apostle Paul would not have been the great man he became. Most great men have at least one other man in the background who builds them up and makes them what they are. Same, of course, with women. Barnabas was a native of Cyprus. He was well-travelled, and he understood both the Hebrew and the Greek cultures, and he would have had something in common with these people in Antioch. Now notice the concern of the Jerusalem church. That was commendable. How they were concerned about this new church plant way up in Antioch. They were independent, and yet they chose to be cooperative and caring. In the same manner, we must also be on the lookout for congregations that need our help. We are the universal body of Christ with one mission. It's the same mission. And we are all heralds of the good news about Jesus. So here we learn first of all from Barnabas, if you're the real deal, you will be a herald. You will share the good news about Jesus where God gives you opportunity. Second, we see from Barnabas, not only be a herald, but be an encourager. Be an encourager. Look at verses 22 and 23 of Acts 11. News reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all. He encouraged them all. He encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all of their heart. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. What an amazing gift, the gift of encouragement. And how badly, how desperately the church needs today people who are encouragers like Barnabas. He was an encourager, the son of consolation, exhortation, encouragement, comfort. Back in those days, as you know, I'm sure, you received a name not because of what you were, but what your parents hoped you'd be or become. Well, Barnabas was given this name, the son of encouragement, because he was always helping people, exhorting and encouraging others. He was the right man, and the Jerusalem disciples knew that what Antioch needed was a Barnabas. If they were really going to stand for Christ in an anti-Christian world, Barnabas was the kind of Christian who could genuinely rejoice in the blessing of God upon other people. Verse 23, he was glad when he saw the evidence of the grace of God at work in these Gentile believers. Not so many Christians like that, unfortunately. So often people would rather be independent or even criticize others or other congregations or look down upon new church plants. Not our Barnabas. He was a son of encouragement. I hope you're a son, a daughter of encouragement. How we need encouragement in these days. If someone were to examine your life, would they be able to say, I saw the grace of God in your life. I saw your faith, and the grace of God so evident in your life was such an encouragement to me. During the Bush War years in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, our fraternals would gather together, and all denominational differences and other differences just melted away. We were simply brothers and sisters in Jesus, and we met together regularly to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to help each other, to hold one another up, and to build one another up in the Lord. And when I was a pastor of Meadowridge Baptist Church in Meadowridge, Cape Town for 23 years, we met together in a fraternal of ministers, and there were about 24 of us, and every month we would gather together to share together, pray together, encourage one another. During this past week, I was in a fraternal of our pastors and ministers in the Fishhook area in Cape Town, South Africa, and what an encouragement that was, just to be together, just to be encouraging each other, lifting each other up, praying for each other. What an encouragement to say to a new church, praise God, this is the Lord's doing, it's marvelous in our eyes, this is wonderful, brothers and sisters, can we help you in any way? What a life we could have together if we were all sons and daughters of encouragement. When last did you encourage your pastor, the elders of your church, your deacons, your young people or children, or your Sunday school teachers? He encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord, did Barnabas. In this one sentence, Luke sums up Barnabas's ministry in Antioch. What a wonderful thing to encourage one another. Jude tells us in that little epistle in the New Testament that bears his name, the name Jude, build yourselves up in the love of God, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Now let me say a word then about the difference between a relationship and real fellowship, what the New Testament calls in the Greek word koinonia, sharing life together. At conversion, we are born into God's family and we have a relationship with the Lord. We are his children. And Jesus said of his children, calling us his sheep, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and no one will ever pluck them out of my hand. They will never perish." If you're a child of God, you're a child of God, kept by the power of God, says Peter, for that salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. God won't ditch you or change you for someone else. I was so amused a few years ago in Branson, Missouri, where I went to the show put on by Yakov Smirnov, a Russian who had emigrated to New York and then set up his show in Branson, Missouri. And he described how he arrived as an immigrant at JFK Airport in New York, and he was so impressed with this. This, of course, was many decades ago, coming out of Russia under communist regime and so on, and then coming to the United States, and he saw these signs at the airport, and he needed the men's room, and so he saw the little sign, and it had men's room, and then a ladies' room, and he just saw the signs and recognized which was which, and then he saw a baby sign, and then he was trying to read what it said under the sign, and he asked someone what that was, and somebody interpreted for him and said to him, that sign says baby changing station. And he said, "Oh, what a country, what a country. If you don't like your baby, you just take it in here and change it for another one that you prefer." Well, God doesn't change his children for others or cast them out. If you're a child of God, then you have been justified, and one day by the grace of God you will be glorified. Jesus won't let you go. He'll pursue you like the hound of heaven. Having begun a good work in you, he will bring it to completion at the day of Christ, the Bible says. But you see, that's a relationship. But we are saved into fellowship, the fellowship of believers. And that's something different, and it's something wonderful. And we are called to maintain fellowship, to share life as the community of God's people. How is your fellowship with him? Are you walking in the light as Jesus is in the light? If we have fellowship with him in the light, that is a life of transparent openness before the Lord and his people. The Bible says we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Barnabas urged and encouraged them to stay close to the Lord. You see, he was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit, like Stephen. Without that, you have some kind of relationship, but your fellowship is sadly lacking. But Barnabas was able to trust God to fulfill his promises. He was full of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the result of this Spirit-faithful ministry, a ministry of great encouragement, was, verse 24b, a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So here's the real deal, friend. If you truly are a genuine follower of Jesus, then be a herald, be an encourager, and then thirdly, be a team player. Barnabas was a team player, and that is so important. when I had the joy and privilege of pastoring my previous church, it was just incredible, a marvelous experience to be able to help to build teams. We had a pastoral team, we had an eldership team, we had a deacons team, we had a local missions leadership team, we had a distant missions leadership team, we had a young adults leadership team, we had a youth leadership team, we had a children's ministry leadership team, women's ministry leadership team, and so on. But one vital question was always asked when we appointed somebody to a leadership team. Are you a team player? Are you able to work with others and be a real team player? Not insisting on your own way, but working together with the leadership team till you come to a godly, spirit-inspired consensus about every situation. Well, you remember when Saul was converted, only Barnabas took the time to meet Saul and sit down and hear his story and then report back to the church. And now Barnabas needed Saul, who was faithfully planting churches and nurturing in the Lord up in Tarsus. He'd been there perhaps for about 14 years, and Barnabas didn't mind sharing the spotlight. He went to fetch Saul and brought him to Antioch. Little did they know that this was preparing them both for a far greater ministry to the nations. A ministry not only in Antioch, but a ministry that through the Antioch church as a base mission church would be a ministry to the world. Don't ever belittle what you're doing now, dear friend. What you do now for God, even if it seems small, is preparation for what is to come, both on earth and in heaven for all eternity. You are destined for the throne. Antioch was probably a congregation of about 1,000 people now, according to one early church historian. And so, what a wonderful thing to be a part of God's move in this situation. And so, as we look at what it means to be the real deal, and we follow the wonderful story of Barnabas, we see that not only was he a herald, not only was he an encourager, but he was a team player. And then, fourthly, be like Jesus. If you're the real deal, you need to be like Jesus. Notice the last statement of verse 26. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, that may have been a sort of a side swipe, a kind of an insult, really. But the bottom line is, these believers that Barnabas was nurturing, they were looked upon as being like Jesus. In the image of Christ, they earned the title of Christian by being true disciples. Do you deserve the name Christian? We use the word every day. We talk about a Christian nation or a Christian church or a Christian doctor. The word only occurs three times in the Bible. In Acts 26, we find King Agrippa saying to Paul in his defense, when he was brought before Agrippa, Agrippa said, "You're trying to persuade me to be a Christian." And then Peter says in his first letter, chapter 4 and verse 16, "If you're called on to suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." These disciples didn't call themselves Christians. The world called them Christians because they were like Jesus. Today we have a lot of believers, but only a few Christians. Lots of people who profess to be Christians, but they don't possess the character of Christ. They're not the real deal. They're not like Barnabas. They're not anointed followers of the Anointed One. And when you see them, you see the grace of God, the evidence of the grace of God, and you see that they're like Jesus. How do you measure up to Barnabas? Are you full of the Holy Spirit and faith, full of encouragement for others, full of Christ, a herald, helping others to become like Christ? So much so that those who looked on began to call these people Christians. Friend, this is the real deal. Barnabas shows us that if you're the real deal, then be a herald, be an encourager, be a team player, be like Jesus, an anointed follower of the Anointed One, and finally, be a giver. Look at these closing verses in verse 29 and verse 30. The disciples, according to their ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. The Jerusalem church and the Judean Christians had been so persecuted, many of them had lost their properties, lost their homes, lost their jobs, lost their incomes. And now this new church in Antioch up north, predominantly a Gentile church, now reciprocates by taking up an offering and sending it to the poorer believers in Jerusalem. What a wonderful, wonderful gift. And who did they send it with? Well, of course, they sent it with Barnabas and Saul, who had given themselves wholeheartedly to the ministry, and who knew they could be trusted to take this generous gift of the believers in Antioch to their poorer brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. What a blessing to be like Barnabas, to be a generous giver. The Bible says that we are stewards of all that God has given to us, and we are to get out of ownership into management, into stewardship, like Barnabas. We are to steward the gifts and the treasures that God has given to us. Not to give in response to guilt, but or even simply need, but because we love the Lord so much, because we love people so much, that we will give. And our giving will be proportionate to our income, and our giving will be regular, our giving will be sacrificial, our giving will be generous, knowing that God, who supplies seed for the sower, will also supply our seed and enable us to sow abundantly and to reap abundantly. So here's real Christianity. Here's the authentic Christ follower. Here, my friend, is the real deal. May God help each one of us to be the real deal in this day when there are so many fake Christians around. Be a herald, be an encourager, be a team player, be one who mirrors the image of Christ, and be a generous steward of all that God has given to you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you once again for challenging us to the core of our being, as we have shared in this meditation in your word. And we thank you for the example of Barnabas, and we pray that you would help us to be like him, inasmuch as he was like Jesus. Take our lives this evening, and grant, dear Father, that we may come to you in full and glad surrender of all that we are and all that we have. Take us up, dear Lord, and use us, we pray. Use our lives, use our lips, use our time and talents and treasures. Use our energies, dear Lord, and our resources, and grant that we may be able to sow the seeds of the gospel wherever we go, just as these early believers did. And help us, Lord, to be the real deal, like Barnabas. Help us to be heralds. Help us to be encouragers. Help us to be team players. Help us to be like Jesus. And help us to be sacrificial and faithful in all of our stewardship. And so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.